Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And this one is just me, not because of any reason other than... This is how the schedule worked out. So it's just me. And I am thinking about an email that I got. This is from Leading Saints, wonderful podcast, wonderful organization. And they talk about shame. And it just got me thinking. It got me thinking about how we motivate each other, how we motivate ourselves, and the role that shame plays in that. And is it really the role that shame plays in that? So, let me just give you a little bit of context. This is the, I'm not going to read the whole email. This is from Kurt Frankum. This is the Leading Saints weekly newsletter. And he talks about shaming gets results. Shaming gets results. And it does, but it's not long-term results. I think back to many Elders Quorum conversations that I have sat in on where the conversation revolved around home teaching numbers, home teaching percent, home teaching results or not results. And it was a one of my least favorite meetings because if I wasn't standing, if I wasn't doing the things that I should have done, at least according to the messages that were being shared, then if I'm falling short, then I'm not good enough. And maybe there are good reasons for it. Maybe I am new. Maybe I didn't know that my assignment changed. This happens occasionally where assignments change and the companionship is the last to find out. And so there's that. There's so many talks, could be sacramenting talks, conference talks, even testimonies where people share things that work for them. And we interpret some of those things as being shamed because the things that work for somebody else might sound like we need to start reading our scriptures on a daily basis or on a, you know, get together as a family, make sure we're doing family prayer, all the, you know, all those things. So as I have thought about this, I've also thought about, I'm sensitive to the fact that because we are, and I'm speaking as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I suspect that this happens in probably not just religious traditions, but it happens in any situation where there's a code of conduct, so to speak. There are things that you should and shouldn't do. And there are elements of, and I'm just going to call it out and say it's spiritual manipulation. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to dig into it. Kurt only has 4 points on what the shaming looks like. And he explains that sometimes as we discuss the expectations that God has for us, the expectations that we convey are not necessarily God's expectations. Sometimes we have a belief. We have maybe from personal experience a value or a desire to do things in our own lives that have made a difference for us. Sometimes, even when we tell stories, so we share experiences. This is what has happened with me. This is what's happened with you. And I'm going to get a little bit maybe make this a little bit personal. When I share my experience with chocolate cake, and if you haven't heard what I do with chocolate cake, I've got some of the early episodes, I think episode 1, 2, maybe where I share that. And the short version of the story is that on a almost weekly basis, I make and share chocolate cake with people. Sometimes it's for birthdays. Sometimes it's just because I have been thinking about them. I've got a family that I minister to. a lot of things going on in their family. So I took some cake over to them recently. Just kind of opens up the door, figuratively and literally, to have a great conversation. And because I've had tremendous experiences, it would not surprise me if there are times that I talk about this and I say things like, you should be doing something like this. And it doesn't have to be cake. It could be banana bread, or it could be zucchini bread, or it could be cinnamon rolls, or it could be dish towels, or anything at all that you have a talent to produce. And somebody may listen to that and say that, well, he's shaming us into ministering or into serving. That's not my intent at all. And then, of course, as we emphasize the importance of following the commandments, being obedient, sometimes that can come across as shaming. So I just want to share a perspective. And this is not the right perspective, necessarily. This is just my perspective. So as we listen to some of these talks, we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast, about the adding the words for me or for you to everything that we say or everything that we hear, and how that can make a difference in how we interpret things. I think a lot of times, if we don't include those two words, then the comment could feel like a shaming comment. If we do, I think it loses some of that power. So Annette was on the podcast a couple weeks ago that we talked about this, where she's brought it up a couple times, a general conference talk where the speaker, and I did not look it up, I don't have the exact quote, but the speaker said that the temple is the pinnacle of peace for him. It's not the pinnacle of peace for everybody. And I'm not saying it should be. I'm just saying it's not, because different people have different experiences, different circumstances, different maybe values. There may be people who don't have the opportunity to go into the temple, and that's just the circumstance right now. That's not a judgment that they should or shouldn't. It's just, that's what it is. So when I get excited about something, and one of the things that I've gotten excited about recently is my streaks, the streaks, days in a row that I'm reading scripture, the days in the row that I'm praying, days in the row that I'm in a row that I'm doing some physical activities, days in a row that I'm, all the different things that I'm doing. When I get excited about it, I tell people, I say things, you should be doing this. You can change your life. You can get habits started that you have maybe struggled with for a long time. And I don't know that it's going to work for everybody, but it's worked for me and it's worked for other people that I've talked to. So that is not my intent, I should say. My intent is not to shame. My intent is not to suggest that you're wrong if you don't do things the way that I suggest, or that my way is better than your way, though sometimes I think it is. And so I think sometimes the idea of shaming is a, I think that happens when we slip into a victim mindset. And sometimes there may be some elements of actual shame. People want others to feel shame. And that's the, I think that's where we get into some of the spiritual manipulation that I referenced earlier. I have seen this. I've seen it as soon as I recognized that it was a thing. I've seen it a lot more frequently than I imagined that I would. And just a couple of quick examples. I've seen communication, text messages, emails, stuff like that, where scriptures are quoted to get people to do or believe certain things. I don't think that's appropriate. I have seen situations where people use what Kurt Franken calls the spiritual trump card, that, well, God told me, or my patriarchal blessing told me, or the spirit told me, or I've had personal revelation that has made it clear to me that, and then they continue. So that spiritual trump card, because it's a spiritual thing, and because spiritual things are such intimately personal things, there is a potential of creating shame around some of those things, especially if the spirit told me that and I'm trying to make something up, it's not coming as fast as I want, that I should be calling my kids twice a week for the ones that live out of town. And maybe that's great for me, but that is not a universal law. That is not a universal rule. And so that is not, even though I may believe that this is something that everybody should do, just like I believe everybody should be doing some version of chocolate cake, and I believe everybody should be doing some version of listening to my podcast or whatever. The spiritual trump cards, and sometimes I'm convinced, I may be wrong, but I'm convinced that people are not trying to be manipulative when they pull those out. I think they're trying to be helpful. I think they're trying to be genuine. I don't think it's valuable. I don't think it's helpful. I don't think it's effective. I think there are some dangers, but that's, there you go. There's my opinion. So I'm not going to get much more into that other than saying that, I think, and this is me, and you can disagree with me if you want. In fact, if you want to disagree with me, you can email me, ken@chocolatecakebites.com, bites, B-Y-T-E-S. I've got a link in the show notes. You can email me. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your thoughts. But I think in general, there's my out. In general, we cannot be shamed unless we allow ourselves to be shamed. And the way that I think we can get out of this shame cycle is we understand that whoever is saying the quote shameful thing is just expressing an opinion. The opinion is not fact. It's not even necessarily based on fact. It could be an interpretation, especially when we get into scriptures and the meanings of scriptures. That is not fact. They do not, they, whoever they are, do not have the authority to interpret scripture for you. They do not have the stewardship over you, most likely, to tell you what God wants you to know. And I'm not talking about, we talked briefly about this last week with even the prophet. I think God wants us to test things out. I think he wants us to try things out. I think he wants us to learn, discover things for ourselves. And my path to experience and learn things is going to be different than your path to experience and learn things. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's just part of our path. Just like I had some kids that were walking before they turned one, and I had other kids that were not walking until after they turned one. It's not that one's right and one's wrong, or one's better and one's worse. It's that they just have different growth experiences. I think we all have different growth experiences. So this is, I was talking to somebody the other day. This has come up a couple times recently, where, and I've mentioned here, I'm a life coach. I help people survive difficult relationships, especially if they're trying to deal with their frustrating boss. And because I've been focusing on that so much, I've been working on my own personal skill set, my own personal mindset. I really have a hard time taking that hat off. I have a hard time looking at life and not looking through that lens. I'm not saying that I can't do it. I'm not saying that I won't do it. I'm just saying that with a lot of times things come up, I'm looking at things through that lens. And so this may be an example that I, right now, and like Annette, I reserve my right to to change my opinion at any point in the future. But right now, I believe that if you don't want to be shamed, you don't have to be shamed. I don't know of a situation where somebody, just like if I'm dealing with a bad boss, a boss is not going to come to me and drag me into work if I call in. I have the option to ignore that duty, if you want to call it that. I think by the same token, we can ignore the quote duty of feeling shame for not having our behavior a certain way. And one of the things that I'm doing every day, this is part of a program that I've been in, is I'm identifying things from yesterday that I want to forgive. I talked briefly about this at the start of the year, that I wrote down everything that I wanted to forgive for 2023. And I'm not letting those things come up and haunt me anymore. I think forgiving ourselves, and we're going to have an episode on forgiveness. I've had some really great comments about forgiveness from a couple different sources. And so we'll have an episode on forgiveness. I just don't have that scheduled yet. But forgiving ourselves is a critical part of that. And so if I'm going to forgive myself, that means I have to forgive myself. That doesn't mean I need to shame myself because I missed a day yesterday reading the scriptures, which I didn't, by the way. And I don't have my streaks up here, but I have for the follow, what is the app now? The We Believe app, used to be the Come Follow Me app. We Believe, I'm almost a year every day, at least getting into that app. And I'm listening to the, or watching the video that comes. It's about a 2-minute, 3-minute video every day. And then there's the Wordle, the Come Follow Meadle puzzle that I do that every day. And I have a streak of about 285 days in a row that I've been doing that. Super important. And, but also I think everything's a habit. I think having a habit of not being shamed, that's an example of letting somebody else take our agency from us. And I don't want to do that. That's not the behavior that I want to have. And so, like I said, I'm not perfect at it. I make mistakes, and sometimes I feel ways that I don't want to feel. Those feelings don't serve me. And so I examine my feelings or my thoughts around those things and take, if I'm lucky, I take a different approach. But there you go. I think using shame, using spirituality, using righteousness, using commandments or scriptures to manipulate anybody, including ourselves, I think that's inappropriate and bordering on, and maybe across the line of unacceptable. I don't think that that's the way that we should treat anybody, certainly not ourselves, and certainly not anybody else. So that pretty much covers everybody, right? So there you go. There's my thought. I think that having some awareness that your opinions can't hurt me as much as it feels like they can, if I decide that I'm going to reject your opinions, then sorry for you, but rejecting your opinions doesn't affect me at all. So in fact, it just maybe reinforces. Now, that raises a question. I'm not going to get into the question, but it leads to the question. If I see somebody that I know, love, trust, respect, or want to help succeed, and they're making, and I'll call it an objectively wrong choice, what's my obligation? I'm not going to address that because I don't know the answer right now. But I have seen situations where relationships crumble when people step out of stewardship and start making demands of righteousness, meaning I am demanding that you behave in a righteous way. I don't think that's productive. I don't think that it's valuable. I don't think it's kind. I don't think it's our place. But I may be wrong. I don't know. But like I said, I've seen relationships crumble when people are outside of stewardship. I'm not talking about a parent and child relationship. I'm talking about an adult and another adult. And it could be in a relationship. It doesn't matter. But the relationship I've never seen it benefit, improve, enhance the relationship with somebody when somebody calls somebody else out and calls them to repentance. I don't know. Now, again, if you go back to stewardship, you've got a ecclesiastical leader and a ecclesiastical constituent, if that's what it's called, ecclesiastical follower. There's a stewardship there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about two adults, no stewardship, could be a friendship, could be a family relationship, could be a maybe some other connection. But there you go. So that's something else we'll talk about at some point. So Annette, I'm counting on you to remember these things so we can have those conversations. In the meantime, I'm just going to say this has been on my mind a lot. The idea to act or be acted upon. The more I think about this, the more I'm convinced that our Father in Heaven wants us to act. He wants us to make decisions. He wants us to do things. And doing a thing by our own choice, even if it's not, quote unquote, the right thing, the best thing, there's good, better, and best. I think making a decision rather than having somebody else make those decisions and then we just kind of fall in line. I don't think the falling in line, being passive, I don't think that's going to give us the growth that he wants us to have. So there's my thought. That's my opinion. That's what you get. And sorry, but not sorry. And we'll talk to you next week, probably about something with Annette. We'll see what we can work out. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?